Well, actually, ladies, I've already been on the mountaintop twice today already. I went this morning for a run. I felt like I was on the top of a mountain. It's not really like a Canadian mountain. It'd be like an Australian mountain. And I was up there overlooking the ocean. And I was my hands out and thought, I don't want to go home. I like being on the mountain. But being in this space, being led by some beautiful, gifted musicians and beautiful women of God, would you not agree? That comes so through. And I'm in the front row and I'm listening. There's something special about being in a room with women singing, right? Like, I like to worship with my husband, but there's something very sacred about women being together. So I want you to just stand for a moment. I want you to turn to the person beside you or behind you and said, I'm so glad that you've been worshiping with me today. Just quickly do that. Stand up. Okay, ladies. I know it's always a little dangerous to let women talk. I'm going to invite you ladies to get the word out in your hands. We're 3 for 3 today. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 3 through 7 in a few moments. Now, ladies, I hope you will forgive me and hope nobody's going to be offended. But I'm taking my shoes off. My husband was convicted about 15 years ago. If you're in a room with my husband preaching, he always preaches with his shoes off because he believes it's holy ground. And I do believe that, but my feet are also killing me. And I don't know why on earth I chose to wear those shoes today. So forgive me, will you? I'm standing on holy ground. I do believe that. So let me tell you, ladies, I will never forget Sunday, January the 2nd, 2002. I had just masterfully created a roast beef dinner. Yorkshire puddings, perfect. Gravy, divine. Roasted vegetables, everything was perfect. All the kids were actually sitting at the table. And then the doorbell rang. And as I'm walking to the door, I'm thinking to myself, this had better be good. Because my dinner was piping hot on the table. And when I opened the door, there was this woman standing there with a clipboard. Yeah, you know. It meant two things, her survey and my time. And I was not too happy. Until she began to tell me what was actually on the clipboard. She was from a movie production company. They were going to be filming a movie on my street. And she needed to go to all the neighbors to get our signatures, to make sure that we were okay with the disruption that was going to come on our street. Well, suddenly that roast beef dinner went far from my mind because I was kind of piqued with interest now. And I said to her, who are the movie stars coming to my street? Ladies, wait till you hear who it was. Brad Pitt. Gets even better. George Clooney. And then Julia Roberts. Well, quite frankly, after she said George Clooney and Brad Pitt, I said, where can I sign up? definitely, I'm okay with it. And then I said, my next question was, okay, well, when are they coming? When are they going to grace my streets with their presence? And she said, oh, they're coming the weekend of February the 20th. And in my head, I went, February 20th. No, they cannot come February 20th. I'm going to be out of the province that weekend. I said, do you mind asking them, could they change the date? She laughed like you did. And so needless to say, Brad Pitt and George Clooney, they came and walked down my street. And I wasn't there. My kids were, although they were like, who's Brad Pitt and George Clooney? Back then, my girls now know who they are. But the interesting thing was, when I came home on the Monday, I noticed something really significant. Nothing had changed in my neighborhood over the weekend. People looked the same, same houses, same cars, same hair, same problems. Across the street from me was a family whose son had run away and was living in the streets of Montreal. He hadn't come home over the weekend. Beside me was the marital strife that was going on, and we lived in a semi, and trust me, I could hear through the walls the chaos that was happening in their house. On this side of me was a lady whose mother was aging, and there was great grief and pain, and they were having a hard decision to make what to do with her. Over here was the financial crisis, and so there was somebody who had just declared bankruptcy. And over here, a family had just had a child diagnosed with, not Asperger's, what's the other one? Autism, thank you. Nothing had changed in my neighborhood because Brad Pitt and George Clooney had walked on our streets. Ladies, you would know, there is only one man who has ever walked on our streets with the ability to change us. There has only been one man who has ever walked on our streets with the ability to transition us from darkness to light. What's his name?
Jesus.
Jesus said, the only man who has ever claimed it, the only man who can promise it. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. I love the way Anne Graham Lotz, who is Billy Graham's daughter, I love the way she says it. She writes poetry, and I love the way she says it. If I could have brought the book with me, I was telling the ladies before, my books were too heavy in my suitcase. My husband made me take them out. But here's Anne's take on the abundant life of Jesus Christ. He supplies strength to the weary. He increases power to the faint. He offers escape to the tempted. He sympathizes with the hurting. He saves the hopeless. He shields the helpless. He sustains the homeless. He gives purpose to the aimless. He gives reason to the meaningless. He gives fulfillment to our emptiness. He gives light in our darkness. He gives comfort in our loneliness. He gives fruit in our barrenness. He gives heaven to the hopeless. He gives life to the lifeless. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I think you're distracted by the rain. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He gives life to the lifeless. Hallelujah. This is the truth of abundant life, and we all know it. We know that verse, and yet, ladies, why is it that sometimes we feel weary and faint and tempted and hurting and hopeless and helpless and sometimes homeless? Why sometimes do we feel aimless and meaningless and emptiness and darkness and loneliness? If Jesus came to give life and abundant life, why do sometimes we feel these things? Scripture teaches us, ladies, that as disciples of Jesus Christ, as women who have given our lives over to Jesus Christ, it's this transition opportunity that is ours. Jesus came to transition us from darkness to light, from hopeless to hope-filled women. Hallelujah. And so, ladies, let me suggest to you in our final session together, that there is this transition that you and I must choose. If we want to live an abundant life, there is a transition that we must choose. Now, ladies, it's not one of those natural transitions that's just going to kind of fall upon you. It's not one of these transitions that's going to be inflicted upon you. It's one that we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we have to choose it. We have to choose to spiritually transition from darkness to light, from fear to joy, from confusion to truth. It's a transition, ladies, that we have to choose every single day. Now, I went to my NI version and I thought, oh God, wouldn't it be great if there was a verse in there that actually said the word transition? I looked through all the NIV, doesn't exist. But its message is from cover to cover. Peter talks a lot about it in his writings. And this is what Peter says in 2 Peter 2. For this reason, ladies, make every effort. There's the part that we come in. Make every effort to grow. Add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge. And on and on and on he goes about making every effort to grow. He also says, like newborn babies, ladies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. He also says, again, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So ladies, to grow, it means to transition from one state to another. That's what transition means. It means to grow from darkness to light, from hate to love, from pain to joy, from confusion to truth. So make no mistake about it, although Peter doesn't use the word transition, throughout his writings, he is exhorting the believers to transition, to spiritually transition, to change, to move, to grow, ladies, from these baby Christians, from these immature Christians, to mature believers in Jesus Christ. But it's a transition, ladies. It's up to us to choose it. Paul also talks about it. Paul says, in all things, grow up into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. And Paul also speaks about transition in our text today as he writes this letter to this young leader by the name of Timothy. Here is his exhortation to Timothy to grow, to transition in his own personal life. So, ladies, out of reverence for the Word of God, I invite you to stand with me. And we're going to read it together. You can read it from the screen. You can read it from your own translation. Like prayer, I like it when I hear different translations. It's the Word of God. So it doesn't matter if you're reading a different translation. But for all of us today, ladies, this is the Word of the Lord for us today. Let's read it together. I thank God whom I serve. Hallelujah. Be seated, ladies. Now, Paul was a man who understood the importance of keeping a fire burning and alive. Not the kind of fire that we roast marshmallows around, not that kind of fire that in Canada we love to go around to keep warm. But Paul is speaking here about the importance of keeping the fire of faith alive. Paul and Timothy had traveled together for about 15 years, and then Paul leaves Timothy to lead the church in Ephesus. And Paul knew that when he was writing this letter, that his days were numbered. He was imprisoned in Rome when he wrote this letter, and Nero was taking great delight in those days of killing off Christians. And so Paul knew as he was writing this letter that his days were numbered. So in a sense, this was a time of transition for the early church. It was a time of transition personally for Timothy, because Paul was kind of passing the torch, passing it on to this young leader, Timothy. And as he was doing so, he was exhorting Timothy in the midst of the chaos of the church, in the midst of the church attempting to grow in a world that was not welcoming it and was filled with persecution. So in the midst of sort of the transitional, situational stuff that they were dealing with, Paul writes to exhort Timothy to also choose to personally, spiritually transition in the midst of the circumstances that he found himself in. Now, when you look to that verse in verse 6 where it says, for this reason, that refers to the faith that had been born in Timothy, had come from his mother and his grandmother, that generational faith being passed on. And he uses a word in the Greek for to fan or to stir, depending on what your translation says. But the word in the Greek is an interesting word, because it means to kindle afresh. Or, I like this one, it also means to keep at full flame. I think we might have a slide for that, perhaps. Maybe not. But it's a word that means to keep at full flame. Suggesting by that word, ladies, the fire hadn't gone out. It doesn't say you got to start up the fire. It says to keep it at full flame. So suggesting, and I don't know for sure, but maybe the fire of Timothy's faith was maybe starting to wane just a little bit. And maybe part of Paul's letter was encouraging Timothy, don't let it go out, keep it going. So that kind of begs the question, I kind of ask questions when I read scripture, well, what possibly could have been the issue? And when I do a little bit of research and reading about the church in Ephesus, I find out the church in Ephesus was not all that different from Toronto. Probably not all that different from Sydney or Brisbane. It was a city filled with ungodly people. Christians were being persecuted. I don't know about what's happening here, but Christian persecution, which looks very different than it does in some countries, but we are getting persecuted because it's in the media all the time. We're intolerant, and you know there's a huge issue with the gay movement in Canada and how the church's response to it. And so we're always being told, and we're kind of being put down. And so there's kind of this rumbling of persecution that's kind of erupting in Canada a little bit. I don't know if that's happening here, but it's happening in Canada. But in Ephesus, that's what was happening, and there was false teachers everywhere. Many were abandoning their faith. Many were being deceived and led in other directions. That happens in my city. It probably happens in your city. The bottom line is, it was not easy to be a believer in Jesus Christ in Ephesus. But Paul had every confidence in who Timothy was as a person. That's why he left him there to lead the church. But here was the thing. He had every confidence in Timothy, but if Timothy was going to survive this church's transition as it was going to go through, Paul says that Timothy needed to also make sure that personally he was choosing to spiritually transition in his own spirit. There's all this stuff going on out here, but he had to make this personal choice to spiritually transition so that his faith would be burning bright. Now, I think, ladies, we probably all understand what it means. And when I speak about our faith kind of starting to dim, do you know what I'm talking about? When the fire of that excitement of when we first become believers, when it starts to kind of dim a little bit, when we're kind of going through the motions. Maybe there's people here who came just because somebody said, you got to come, and you're going through the motions. The fire of the faith starts to dwindle. And it can happen for a whole lot of reasons. Sometimes, like Timothy, it's from things outside the church and the persecution and the pressure to conform to the way the world does things. Anybody feel that pressure? Yes. Yes? Yes. Stay with me, ladies. So sometimes it's the pressure outside the church. But let's be honest, sometimes the pressure inside the church does it to us too. Ministry is hard. Officership is hard sometimes. Being leaders in church are hard. Just being a part of a congregation, because stuff happens sometimes. We don't understand it. We don't get it. We don't like it. We don't agree with it. And sometimes when that stuff starts to happen, our faith that's alive starts to be sidetracked by other things. And the fire of our faith starts to go. Sometimes it's because of health concerns or financial stuff or family stuff. There's a myriad of things that can happen to us, ladies, that things that life throws out of our way that starts to dim the spark of our faith. Are you with me? So here's our word this morning to take us out, to go back into the world, to come down from the mountaintop that I got to do too. Here's our final word, because Paul says to us, no matter what's going on, choose spiritual transition. Choose it, ladies. Don't let the fire of your faith go out, but choose to keep the flame burning bright and strong through our stories. Now, what I love is that Paul tells us, ladies, two ways. And it brings it all together for us. We can, two ways. That's all the ways in which we can do this. Number one, key number one. Remember what we talked about yesterday morning? What was key number one to do with? God. So here's Paul saying, the way this happens, the way you keep the fire of your faith alive is through the enabling spirit of God. Paul knew the answer too. Paul says that God gave us a spirit of power and love and self-discipline or sound mind, depending on your translation. So here's what the Spirit of God gives us, ladies. Strength, even though we feel weak. Power to do what he wants us to do. Certainly the cross is a proof of his love for us. A love that he gives us, a love that enables us to give to others. So we have love to give and to share through our stories. And then he gives us a sound mind. Now, we don't always use it wisely, but believe it or not, God has given us the ability to make good decisions. I know there's been a number of times in my life when I haven't used it, but it's been given by God. He gives us absolutely everything we need to transition into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So if the fire of our faith has gone out, ladies, I got to just say it bluntly. We can't blame God for that. Because God has given us everything we need to transition into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So then Paul gives us the second thing. And this is key number two. Key number one had everything to do with God. Key number two had everything to do with point to yourself. Me. Us. Because Paul tells us in the text that we got to choose to personally transition in our faith. And this is how he goes about saying it. And I'm so glad God is working in sync with everybody up here, because Glenda mentioned something about this morning. I'm talking about it today. Paul spoke throughout 1 and 2 Timothy, through both letters. He spoke about the need to engage in the spiritual disciplines. See, it doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't just naturally happen. It isn't going to be inflicted upon us. We have to engage in the spiritual disciplines. My favorite book, aside from the Bible, a book that's in my library that my husband wouldn't allow me to bring because it was too heavy in my suitcase. Old book, Richard Foster's book on the celebration of discipline. Anybody familiar with this? I know some of you would be. I honestly believe every Christian needs to read that book every year. Because what he talks about in that book are the disciplines, and that word discipline, I know a lot of people don't like that word. They think it's a dirty word. They don't like discipline. But Foster unpacks what a discipline is in such a beautiful way and tells us it's through the disciplines, ladies, that we transition from immature to mature believers in Jesus Christ. It's through the disciplines, ladies, that we will transition from pain to joy, from darkness to light. It is through our engagement in the spiritual disciplines. That's how we keep the fire burning at its fullest, brightest. Now, what I love about the book, because I read this book 25 years ago. And I keep reading it. And it opened my eyes to what it means to live a disciplined life in Jesus Christ. Because he breaks the disciplines into three areas. The first one I was very aware of, inner. Right? There's the inner disciplines. This is between me and God. Personal time of sitting with God. And we engage in things like scripture study and fasting and prayer and meditation. So that's the one-on-one with God. I need to be connected with God in order to tell my story. I need to be connected with God in order to transition. But then Foster goes on to talk about the outward disciplines too. Because you see, God doesn't want us just to be disciplined in spending time with him and then go out in the world and do whatever we want to do and live however we want to live. Be connected with God and then live these selfish, self-centered lives in the world around us. And so you see, ladies, a disciplined life is about how we live it out there too. What kind of a contribution we're making to the world around us. These are the outward disciplines of how we're living, how we're spending our money, how we're investing our time. These are important questions as parents we need to be asking and looking at as far as what are we teaching our children about what's important? We say one thing in church and then do we live something different? So this is about how we live our lives disciplined outward, things like simplicity and solitude and submission and service. It's a great read, which I don't have time to go into. And then there's the third kind of discipline that Foster talks about that we've been doing here all weekend. It's the corporate disciplines. Because aren't you glad that God created us to be in community? We were not created to be islands. We were created to be in community. And therefore, there's a discipline that happens when we gather together. Celebration, worship, confession. I think Paul would have loved Richard Foster's book. I think if he was alive, he would have written the foreword to it. Because you see, when I look to the letters of 1st and 2nd Timothy, it's all over the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. Over and over again, Paul says to Timothy, engage in the spiritual disciplines. And I just took about 15, 20 minutes, not very long. I went through and I thought, because if I spent longer, I'd probably found more. And don't be afraid, I'm not going to go through all these. But I just wanted to show you the verses that I found. Because Paul speaks about the disciplines of meditation. And he talks about the disciplines of prayer and scripture studies in his letters, first and second letters to Timothy. Paul also speaks about the outward disciplines. And here's a whole number of references for submission and simplicity and service and solitude. It's all over the letter. And then Paul speaks about the importance for Timothy to be engaged in the corporate disciplines of worship and confession and guidance and celebration. And you know, I love the way Foster sort of summarizes the spiritual disciplines. Because he says this. He says it's the spiritual disciplines that bring the abundance of God into our lives. Don't you love that? It's what brings the abundance of God into our lives. I want the abundance of God in my life. Does anybody else? Raise your hand, ladies. Do you want? Only half of you. Okay. It's what brings the abundance of God into our lives. Ladies, it's these disciplines that enable you and I to transition from darkness to light, from death to life, from pain to joy, from hatred to love. It's by engaging in these disciplines that we're able to work through some of these deep-rooted issues and stuff that we have. They won't go away by osmosis. They won't naturally go away. They won't all of a sudden have this sort of bang experience and everything's gone. No, no, God says, I'm going to hold your hand. And as you engage in these disciplines that allow me to teach you who I am, that's where the transition, that's how the transition happens. So bottom line, ladies, as we go back into the midst of the transitions that we are facing, back into the situations that we are dealing with, we go back with two keys. The enabling Spirit of God and our commitment to the engagement of the spiritual disciplines. Do you remember the movie The Chariots of Fire? Okay, Eric Little. Great story about this Olympian who went to the Olympics and he had trained to run the 100. I had to get that straight. He trained to run the 100 meter, got to the Olympics, and it was being run on a Sunday. And so he ended up running the 400 and got the gold. Now, the significant thing about this, I do live in a house of runners. My daughter competes nationally, did compete nationally for Canada, so I know what it's like to live with a runner and how they train. And the fact that Eric Little, at the last minute, was able to change his whole training process in order to run, that's why there's the movie, The Chariots of Fire. But what the movie does not tell you is that he went on to be a missionary in China from 1925 to 1943, where he ended up in a prisoner of war camp. At the age of 42, after 3 years of being in this prisoner of war camp, they discovered a brain tumor. And so very close to his death, within about 2 weeks when he knew he was dying, in the middle of a prison camp, ladies, a transition he didn't choose, didn't want, his pregnant wife had gone home to Canada with two of their children, so he died never ever seeing one of his children, one of his kids. But about 2 weeks before he died, he requested the Salvation Army band. There was a little contingent of Salvationists in that camp with him. And he asked them to come and to play a song. And the words are going to appear to, this is the song, on his deathbed, in a situation he didn't choose, away from family, this was the song. Read it with me, ladies. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief and pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain.
Be still, my soul, your best friend. Through thorny ways, please.
My mother-in-law was in that prisoner of war camp with him. And she told us often, as documentaries or books that I've read about him, that he was a man in the midst of an unexpected transition, who in the middle of it continued to choose to spiritually transition. Because to the day he died, he was a man known to be a man in the Word, a man who was always praying, and a man who was always serving his community around him. And so, ladies, it's possible. It's possible to keep the fire of our faith alive, even though some of the situations around us just aren't what we would choose or are difficult. So here's my last word to you, ladies. Don't let it go out. Don't allow the circumstances to kill the fire of that faith that was born in you. No matter what the situation, no matter what is going on, keep it burning bright and strong. Ladies, it's possible with the game plan. And I've proven that game plan in the last year of not only the move of a transition, but I do not have to tell you the story that about a year ago, my husband was diagnosed with cancer. And so a year ago from now, I was in the pit of fear. Cancer in my husband's family is terrible. Husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather all died by the age of 52. My husband's 56. So when that cancer word entered into the vocabulary of our home, it was a very, very scary place. And I was a mess. I wasn't any good for my husband who was going through it. Wasn't any good for my kids. And so I knew that I had to apply myself to the disciplines that I'd been practicing all my life. And I went to the Word, and I went to the Word, and I went to the Word, and I will tell you that I read it and read it and read it. But it was probably about 3 weeks before I was able to pick myself up out of that pit of fear. Because God all of a sudden brought to me Psalm 91, which says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest. And that psalm ends by saying, he will satisfy you with long life And I believe that God gave me that promise. And that promise and that word and me reading it is the only thing that enabled me to get out of that pit. Because God's hand was there ready for me, but I had to choose to reach up and to get up and get on that mountain. And over the last year, I've gone into that pit of fear a good few times, and it's only been through the spiritual disciplines that I've been able to pull myself out. And so I know it works. And I'm counting on it working when I go home to face some situations that I'm going to have to pull myself out of, ladies. And the Spirit of God is the enabling spirit that's with me, but I got to choose to step out in faith, to let the flame burn bright. And so, ladies, as the worship team comes, we have a few moments before we have to rush off to recommit our lives to Jesus Christ, to recommit our lives to doing what we can to keep the fire of our faith alive. God's hand is reaching. That key is available to every single one of us. The second key is up to us. And my hope for each lady here today is that we will choose spiritual transition so that we will move from where we are today to where God wants us to be tomorrow. With all that I am, with all that you are, I invite you this morning to make that commitment again afresh before you go back into to the valleys of life. I was up on that mountain this morning saying, oh God, I want to stay here because it's good here. But of course, God sends us back because we need to tell our stories. We need to live out our stories because we need how many? 10,000, 100,000 more believers of Jesus Christ in Australia? So we got to go back. And we can go back with that commitment today of, yes, I want to transition and I need to engage with God so that I can make that happen. Father, in your presence this morning, your enabling spirit is here. From the moment we began, we knew that you were here. We thank you for the keys that you give us, the key of your enabling spirit to transition us from immature to mature believers and so that we will become more and more into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that that's possible for every single one of us this morning, no matter where we've been. You want us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that your Spirit would be at work, nudging each of us to maybe make that one commitment in that one area of our life with that one discipline that we've been let slip, so that we can fully engage with you, so that the abundance of you, the abundance of your Son, Jesus Christ, will be lived out through our lives. Father, may it be so as we sing this song of commitment to you this morning.